T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and lift off.
Coach on Fire Radio.
I am the tiger.
Hello and welcome everybody to the Flourish and Thrive radio show. My name is Kate Hartley and I'm your host this evening on Flourish and Thrive Radio, helping you to live your best life possible with a selection of inspiring and uplifting interviews from people who have dug deep, been brave, have followed their dreams and are now turning their dreams into reality. Flourish and Thrive is designed to be your seed of inspiration, to motivate you to realise that your dreams truly are within your grasp. Whatever your experiences, whatever your background, whatever your current life situation, you can harness your resourcefulness to live your best life possible and to flourish and thrive. You can find more information on me and the services I offer at www.flourishtherapy.co.uk. I'm on Facebook at facebook.com/flourishtherapy.co.uk and my Twitter handle is at Kate Hartley UK. So tonight I'm interviewing Julie Spalding. Her company is called Transformations. Julie is a psychic medium and I've actually had a psychic reading with Julie and it really was so transformative. So welcome, Julie.
Thank you. Thank you for asking me to be here.
It's absolutely my pleasure. So, Julie, could you start us off by giving us a bit more information about what a psychic medium is, please?
Okay. Well, a psychic is actually different to a medium. And a psychic can look at your past, present and future. And they can do that with different tools like tarot, crystal ball, psychometry, where they hold your jewellery and read the energy. Or they can do it with nothing at all. But that type of reading is all about you. So it's all about your life, your past, your present, your future. Whereas mediumship is about connecting to spirit. So that's about connecting to people that passed over the other side. So actually they're completely separate things. And all mediums are psychic, but not all psychics are mediums.
Ah.
So it wouldn't be any use going to somebody that was just psychic to find out about your mother that's passed over.
Oh, that's fascinating. So do more people come to see you for a psychic reading or a medium reading?
Well, I do either or both. So, you know, if somebody's just experienced a loss, obviously 9 times out of 10, they want to come and hear from their relative. But sometimes people got life issues, so therefore they come about their life.
Yes.
But sometimes people say, oh, can I have both? So I want to know about these things in my life. And, you know, if somebody pops in from spirit, then I'd like to hear about it.
And how do you know when somebody pops in from spirit, for instance? What do you sense in your body?
You're going to laugh at me now.
Go on.
Luckily, when I do a mediumship dim, it is just a mediumship dim. I don't do any psychic stuff with it. And the reason I don't is because when I work on a psychic level, which I do first, if somebody wants both, I always start doing a psychic reading first.
Yes.
As spirit come in, I start to want to yawn. And I can't stop. I just think it's because I'm aware of them. But until they give me something concrete, I don't want to interrupt that psychic reading. So I think to myself, well, I'll just do this bit first. And then when I've finished with this bit, then I'll connect better to you. So I'm aware that they're there.
Yes.
And I let them wait in the background. And then I start yawning. So I have to warn all of my customers first. If they say to me, I want both, I just explain to them, you know, that this is what usually happens when I do both. So please don't think that I think you're boring or fallen asleep on you. Don't kick me under the table. It's just how it goes.
That's so funny.
So that's the first thing I get. And I often go very, very cold. So I think, oh, yes. Just suddenly gone cold. And then I'll start to yawn and then I'll know somebody's there. And then as we go on, they'll start to give me information.
And so, say if it's spirit, how do you then work out, I suppose with the help of the person that you're, that's come for the reading, how do you start to identify that spirit that's coming through?
Well, I always ask people to acknowledge what I say, but not to give me the information first.
Mm-hmm.
Because when spirit come in, You see it, hear it, or sense it. You know, a bit like we do in life. You know, you might see somebody over the road, you might hear somebody over the road, or you might just feel there's somebody over the road.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So that's how you experience it, but it's not like having a two-way conversation. Mm. It's like thought to thought. So say your great aunt comes through. She might tell me her name's Hilda. She mm. might not tell me her name's Hilda, but she might show me that she's standing outside Tesco's with loads of children. And I'd say to you, well, I've got this lady and, you know, I think she might be tall and dark haired and she's got some kind of connection with Tesco's mm. and lots of children are with her. And then you might say to me, oh, I know her. That's my great aunt. Mm. And then as we go on, she might give me her name and, you know, she might not. But you'd know who she is by the information she gives me about herself.
Yes.
And then she may or may not have a specific message for you. Just like if you saw somebody in Australia after 20 years, they might just say, oh, hi, how you doing?
Mm.
You know, on the other hand, they might say, oh, you be careful what you're doing there. So, you know, they might have a specific message or they just might want to say hello.
Okay.
But I always say to the person, don't give me all the information first, mm. because if they say, oh, yes, I'd like my great aunt Hilda and she had 10 children and she worked in Tesco's and blah, blah, that information, I can't give them that information now because they've already given it to me.
And
does
I suppose it
sense?
Helps to validate that you're onto that spirit
absolutely.
For them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes when you have spirit come through, I always say to people, it's a bit like you're now having a birthday party.
Mm.
Okay, so I very rarely get one or two energies come through. You normally get a whole host of them. And some of them might be your family you know well. Some of them might be your family that you don't know very well.
Mm.
Some of them might be friends that have passed away that you've known quite well. But you also get people you didn't know at all. Because if you've got relatives that are gone that you didn't know, but they've seen all of your life, even though you haven't seen all of theirs. And also, you know, you might have, your neighbour, his wife might have passed away. You might never have known her.
Mm.
But if she's got a way of getting a message to her husband through you, then she's going to take it. Does that make sense?
Yes. So many possible doors that are open. And
yeah.
then it's how or with whom you communicate.
It is. But with the different information that you get, which I think sometimes people think, oh, I want a name. But in a way, it's not necessarily that. It's all the other information that you get.
Mm.
You know, what did the person look like? Or what did they do for a living?
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, what kind of personality did they have? Or what are the things that they'd be worried about in this life before they went? Or, you know, what relatives that are here now would they be concerned about?
Yes.
You know, and we don't necessarily know. I'm not in control of what they give me. Because they give me what they feel, firstly, might be important to them or what they want to know about, or also what they might feel I can pick up because it's thought to thought.
Yes.
You know, they might have tried to give me something before. It might have gone over the top of my head. So then they'll give me something different.
Yes.
So really, yeah. I'm just the middle person, which is what medium really means, isn't it?
The messenger.
Middle.
Mm.
Yeah,
yeah.
They're just giving it to me and I'm just passing it on.
Absolutely. So when, for instance, if you get a strong feeling that somebody needs to do something quite significantly different in their life and make a change that would then result in a more prosperous life or a more rewarding life or a more purposeful life, how do you intimate that to them rather than, you know, them leaving you feeling concerned or worried about the future?
Hmm. Were they concerned and worried about the future to begin with?
That's a very good point.
Yeah.
Choice, don't we?
Yeah.
As to everything that happens to us in our lives, we have a choice as to how we let that circumstance affect us.
Of course.
And I'm sure that even if, say, spirit has come through and said or intimated that perhaps the path that individual is on at the moment might not be the most beneficial for them or, you know, for their loved ones in the future, how can you intimate that to somebody so that they make the choice that's probably the better choice than the choice that might lead to the road of misery, as it were?
Well, I think by focusing on the positive outcome of taking the good road,
mm-hmm.
Because, you know, there's two different ways this could come about, whether it be psychic or mediumship. Obviously, if something comes from the spirit, you're given a direct message. You might say, well, you know, your great aunt said that there's a much better road for you to take rather than the one you're on.
Yeah.
I wouldn't necessarily put it very negatively about the one they're on, because I don't think that's too positive for anybody.
No, sure.
But I would tell them the truth about how that would be far better for them to take a more prosperous road. Mm-hmm. And the likely outcome of that. But even when you look on a psychic level, you know, your life is like looking at a great big map. Mm. And everything on that map is your destiny. But which path you take is your free will.
Sure.
So, you know, as you go up that path, you can take left or right. You can tell somebody what is on their map of life, what is their destiny. But you can't choose for them which path to take.
Do you ever get people asking you questions such as, how am I going to die? Or do people just skirt around that subject entirely? And actually, would you be able to answer it if somebody did ask you that question?
As well as working for myself, I also work for a company. Mm-hmm. And I do part-time doing readings for them over the phone. But I do my own readings either face-to-face or by phone or via Skype as well. But I have had people on there that's asked me things like that. And sometimes it's been quite negative. Like, I remember one lady asking me when her mother was going to die, but because she was hoping to get some money off her that she'd only get when she passed away.
Oh, my goodness.
And I said to her, that's not something I'd look at. And she wasn't very happy with me, I must say. And she did complain about me. So, yes, people do ask you. But I don't really think that that's very beneficial. Mm. Because I think that would just... I mean, that'd be beneficial because she wanted the money. I wouldn't do something like that because I don't think that's very good. But even with somebody else, I think that time they'd have left... Mm. They'd then be focused on the fact that somebody was going to pass away, or they were going to pass away, or how they were going to pass yes. away. And I just think, what's the point in wasting that time you've got? Mm. You know, I think it's important what I do in the same as it is if you're in the medical profession. Mm. First, you've got to do no harm, haven't you? So you've got to think, what is in the interest of the person
yes.
that you're trying to help? And I don't think... going into too much about their passing is necessarily in their interest.
Yeah, I was just... Because have you ever seen the film Big Fish? Directed by Tim Burton. It's one of my favourite films. It's totally wacky. But they see in the eye of... Well, she's a witch in the film. I'm not suggesting that you have any links to witches at all. But they in her eye, they can see how they die. And two of them don't want to see, but it's kind of forced upon them because they actually look in her deadly eye, and the other one can see. But then because he knows how he's going to die, he lives his life so fully because he sees how it will come to an end. And so the rest of his life, it's almost like the brakes are off because he knows he's seen more or less the age he's going to be and the predicament that he's going to be in when he does die. And so it frees him up to live this life of joy and sort of carefree, with a carefree attitude, really.
I suppose that's quite true. That could work like that for some people, but it wouldn't work like that for others, would it?
No, I think the majority of us don't really want to know,
So I think it could be quite worrying for people,
I'd rather
really.
Not know, I think. So was there a defining moment in your life that made you realise that you were psychic, or is it an ability that you've sort of grown up with and then realised that you had this special gift?
Well, to be honest, my first experience, I think, with anything was my grandmother. Mm-hmm. And she used to live in Mendlesham, in a little village. And they were like old people's bungalows. So there was like a square. And I used to go and stay with her in the summer holidays. And there wasn't really a lot to do. So, you know, it was pretty boring, really, because they're all old people, really. So, you know... They might play Scrabble, but the one thing my Nana did do is she used to read tea leaves and she used to read playing cards, and I found that quite interesting. So out of the options, that was definitely the best one. So yeah, I used to say to her, oh, that's really interesting. So I'd ask her how the cards went, and then, you know, and how to read these tea leaves, and then when the old ladies come round to have their read, and she never done it for a living, she just done it to do it, you know. I used to have a go on them myself, and then I'd go to school and read for the dinner ladies. And the thing is, we're very poor in our family. I always remember this dinner lady telling her that I could see that there was a sum of money coming her way, and she decided to go to bingo that night, and she won. So she put it down to my reading and bought me a big bag of sweets. Well, we never got any sweets. So I kind of thought it was Christmas. So that was really good. Yeah, so I suppose that was the first experience I've had in that sense. But then I've had a lot of mystical experiences. That was more being taught the basics. I'm not sure I really understood the basics, even though I was taught it, if that makes sense. Because when you're young, do you really understand what you're doing? Probably not. Mm. I remember coming home to my mum in a spiritual sense and being upset because I was only always very soft-natured. And I said, "Oh, Mum, the lady down the road has died." And she said, "No, she hasn't. I just saw her this morning." Well, it turned out I was right and she had. And then she said, "Well, how did you know?" Well, I don't really know how I knew, but I just did.
Yes.
And it seemed really sad.
And so you just develop your skills as a result of those experiences, or did you go and train further for those skills?
Kind of both, really, I suppose, because I'd had lots of experiences like that when I was young. Mm-hmm. And then when I got to teenage years, that kind of went. So it just disappeared. I thought perhaps I was just a mad child, you know, seeing invisible friends and things. And then when I was older, it came back. But, you know, I had a baby that died of a cot death, which is really sad. And the weird thing was that I kept having dreams before it happened that it would happen.
Oh, gosh.
And, you know, when you get things but you don't want to face it and you think, no, it's probably just because, you know, I'm
paranoid. I mean,
Scared mother. I mean, it happened even when I was pregnant, but I thought, no, you know, it's my first baby. Mm. I'm just being worried about nothing, I thought. But obviously it did happen. But also I saw it after that had passed as well. So that was quite a shocking experience. And then you think, well, this is probably because I'm grieving. Don't you?
Yes.
You can only kind of have so many of those experiences without you, you know, then you begin to realise that it's not that, and that they are, whatever you'd like to call them, mystical experiences.
Do you still connect to the spirit of your lost baby? Or have you tried to?
I haven't tried to, actually. I tend to have more what happens for me at the time, and then I kind of let it go. If that makes sense, because I don't want to sit there and keep trying to connect to something. I look at it, if you're supposed to have it, you're supposed to have it, aren't you, really?
Yeah.
But I still feel that spirit have a connection to us.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? So we will have experiences, lots of experiences. Some of them we pick up on and we're aware of, and some of them, I think, go over the top of our head.
I'm sure. Do you think in the general population we all have that ability to be intuitive, or do you think because we live such busy lives now, we may have it there nascent, but none of us or very few of us actually realise the gift that we've got that we could enhance if we were to give it the time?
I think everybody's got a gift. When you think that when we take in information, we see, hear and we feel, which is sense. And that's exactly the same when it comes to spirit. And I feel that this is something that we're all born with. I mean, you think years ago, you know, in the year plonk, our ability to see or sense danger, we needed that just to survive.
Mm.
You know, and when you think about it, if you're out and somebody's staring at you, you know, you might not be looking anywhere near that person, but you feel it.
Yes.
And you turn around, you think, oh, gosh, they are staring at me. But you think how that could have possibly saved your life.
Yeah.
In years gone by, do you know what I mean? The ability to sense when there was danger or when somebody was focused on. You can see why we need an extra ability. And when you look at how animals pick up on things, and what are we if we're not that? So I think we all have an innate ability to sense things. And mostly I think the one thing an awful lot of people get, which is another thing I had very much so at the beginning, and I still get it now, but obviously it's not the only thing I get now, is dreams. I think we very often pick up things in dreams about things that will happen, or people will sense things about people they're close to. Do you know what I mean? So even if they're not aware that they've got a psychic ability at the time, they'll say, oh, I had this strange feeling about my aunt or my brother or whatever at a period when that person would be in danger. And that's a warning, isn't it? We've got that innate ability to pick up on things when it comes to our well-being or the well-being of the people we love. even if we don't do it all of the time.
I think that's true. Well, I'm sure it's true. The I've got a friend whose father was killed one night while he was in a completely different country, and the father had an alcoholic problem and was hit by a car fatally. Mm. And my friend actually saw his dad talk to him, and he said, "I'm going and I'm okay.
There you go.
And I love you." And so my friend then phoned his mum in a different country to say something happened to dad. And she said, "How did you know?" "I've just heard he's been killed."
Mm.
And so, you know, that can't just be some random coincidental dream.
No, that's right. And my grandmother not only did this, but my mother also picked up on things as well. What you were saying about your friend.
Mm.
My mother and father were separated and divorced when I was very young.
Mm.
But when they were together, my mother would often leave us as children, she said, to go and look for my dad. And her father, my grandfather, had said to her that she shouldn't do that,
mm-hmm.
That she shouldn't leave us alone. And one day she said my dad hadn't come home, and she thought, "Oh, I'm going to go and find him." And she put on her coat. And just as she went to go to the door, she described it as like a smoky figure.
Mm.
But she wasn't smoking, and there was nothing else smoking. And it went in front of the door, and it made her nervous, so she didn't want to go out. And she said that it seemed to disappear, so she took her coat off, and then she'd sat down in a little while. Then she thought, "Well, I think I will go out," so she put it back on again. Then this smoky figure would go in front of the door again.
Oh, my goodness.
So she thought, "Oh, no." She didn't walk through it. So she took her coat off and decided to stay at home. The phone rung.
Mm.
That was my nana telling her that my granddad had passed.
Gosh.
And my granddad had always said to her, "No, don't leave the children." And she swore, I mean, my mother's passed away now, but when she told me the story, she swore it was my granddad. She said, "I'm sure that was him saying to me, 'Don't you go out and leave them children,' because that's what she used to say."
You just don't know, do you?
No. But you know, how can you have smoke where there's no smoke?
No,
spirit come in lots of different ways. I think people expect it to come in a certain way.
Yes.
But you don't always get it in a certain way. I mean, you might see something, hear something, sense something, smell something.
Mm.
You know, if, for example, the person that's passed was somebody that always smoked with worked with petrol.
Yes.
Then you might smell petrol. If they were a smoker, you might smell smoke.
Mm.
You know, there's lots of different ways of them letting you know that it is them and they're there.
God, it'd be unfortunate if they lived in a worked in a slurry pit.
That would. With pigs.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. So, if somebody knows they've got some awareness on a spiritual or an intuitive level, if they wanted to sort of harness those skills and try and develop them even more, what would you suggest that they did?
I would suggest that they worked with it, like they had psychic and spiritual development. Because you think about it, our ability, I think, is an innate ability.
Mm.
It's a bit like saying most people can swim. I mean, if you throw most people into water, they learn to swim.
Yes, pretty fast.
But some people are natural born swimmers. Some people are always going to swim faster than others.
Mm-hmm.
But if you practice swimming, you're going to become better, aren't you?
Yeah.
Because you're practicing it. So really you need somebody that can give you the basics of things, point you in the right direction, and then help you to develop those gifts that you've got. And you know, everybody's somewhere along the path. We don't have to all be Olympic swimmers, do we? But you know, we can still get to a good level.
Where would they go to get, you know, to further their development, as it were?
Well, there's lots of different places. I think lots of people run courses around the country. I mean, I'd done a lot of development at one time, and then when I moved out to Sproughton from Ipswich, I stopped for a little while. But a lot of my customers keep asking me to do it again. I keep saying to them, "Yeah, I will. I'll be doing that soon." And I hadn't. So I've decided this year I definitely am. I've found a venue, which they've just got to come back to me and confirm, which is Central Ipswich, which is really good.
Mm.
Because not everybody can get to places that are a little bit further afield, can they? So I'm going to start mine in Central Ipswich, and it should be about May time.
And what will that be called?
I think it will be a beginner's one, so I don't know what I'm going to call it as yet, but I'm going to start with the basics at the beginning. So that will probably be called the Beginner's Spiritual Development course.
Yeah.
And we'll start with the basics and then gradually work our way through it.
And for just for those listeners in the or outside of the UK, that's Ipswich in Suffolk, UK. Julie does do Skype and telephone sessions as well for people outside of the UK or who aren't geographically close to Suffolk. I'll just go through how you can get hold of Julie while we're talking about that now, and then I'll repeat that at the end and also put them in the show notes. Julie's website is www.psychicipswich.co.uk. And the landline for Julie, if you're in the UK, is 01473 743 564. If you are phoning into the UK, you will need to add 44 as the UK country code and drop the first zero. So that will make the landline 44 1473 743 564. And the mobile will be 44 7970 940 313. But I will repeat those numbers at the end of the show as well. So just so that you know, so yeah, she's got a spiritual development workshop for beginners in May in Ipswich, and we'll be publishing those dates at some point in the near future. So can I ask you, Julie, what sort of tools do you use when you're working as a psychic or a medium?
Well, some people work with nothing at all, mm-hmm. and very often if I'm doing a reading over the phone, I won't always use any tools, okay. because people can't visually see them, and sometimes they prefer to see them, so yes. I just work with my own intuition. but if it's a Skype reading or a face-to-face, there's a whole host of tools that you can use, like tarot, crystal ball, dowsing with a pendulum, psychometry, where you hold somebody's jewellery or something and read the energy. Preferably, I quite like working with tarot. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, sometimes you'll get somebody that says, oh, I don't like tarot, you know, could you use the crystal ball for me? And that's fine. Mm. So I'm always guided by the customer, but my tool of choice would be the tarot.
Oh, and interestingly, how would you use the crystal ball then in a reading? Do images appear in it, or how does that
work?
Well,
really, it's a bit like doing tea leaf reading. That's still scrying. Mm-hmm. So you're seeing something that might be a shape or it might be a colour. If you like, it's stimulating the thoughts in your mind. And therefore, the same as the tarot, because the same card with the tarot could mean something totally different to when I read it for you as it could do the next person.
Yes.
So you know the basic meaning, but you're still going with what you feel.
Yeah.
And how that relates as a whole. Well, it's the same with scrying. You're seeing a shape, a shadow, a mark. I might see something literally, but you might not see it. So it's not there, but it's something that's stimulated by the ball in my mind.
Okay.
But equally, you can actually see something directly in it.
That must
because
be quite
it's
weird.
It's very frightening, actually, because where I used to live over the rivers, and I used to have this caravan, actually, in my garden. And we used to do development in the caravan. Mm. Simply because I had a room for hypnotherapy upstairs and I didn't really want to combine the two. So we done this development outside. And we was all out there doing it. And one of the things that comes to the week where we're doing the scrying. So we got this crystal ball. And they asked me just the same question. Can you literally see something? And I said, yeah, you can. But, you know, most people are quite shocked when they do.
Yes.
They think they want to see it. But when they actually see it, that's a bit like, whoa.
You did EBGBs.
Yeah. One of the girls there, her father had passed away.
Yes.
And we all knew his her father. Mm-hmm. Well, a good few of us did. Yeah. I mean, everybody might not have done, but a few of us did. And we saw him in the ball.
Oh, my goodness.
Exactly. I mean, it was okay for me. I didn't mind. But let's just say my ability to keep people calm was a good thing.
Do a bit of hypnosis quickly.
So exactly. Because sometimes people want something or they think they want yes. it, but then they're like, whoa, when they do. So I think they were a bit shocked by that. But it was very interesting. It was clearly him. Because, you know, looking in a crystal ball is a bit like looking in a mirror, isn't it? You know, if you see something, you can see something very clearly there. And it just looked like him if you saw him in the mirror. He
My
was
goodness.
In the ball. Exactly. I think it was his way of getting our attention.
He certainly did.
Because really, when you look in a crystal ball and you're scrying, that's not really a mediumship thing. That's a psychic thing. You're looking at somebody's past, present and future.
Yes.
So I'm teaching things of a psychic nature.
Yes.
And here you've got this spirit thinking, no, I want to come through as mediumship. We hadn't got onto that bit.
Yeah.
But we'd got onto that bit that day.
Fast forward. He was obviously an impatient man.
As I always say to people, you know, we're not in control of it, really. They are. We can't disturb them, but they can disturb us. And yes. I think, you know, his daughter was there. He just wanted his daughter. That was his way of saying hello to his daughter.
Wanted to make that connection.
Yeah, and he was going to do that, whatever. That was what he wanted to do, and that's what he did.
Something I've always been interested in, when we, you know, if we come to say, to see you as a medium, and so we're asking to connect with our loved ones who've already died, obviously we get something, or get an awful lot out of it, having made that connection. How does that work back to them into the spirit world? Do they feel that sense of elation and connection in the same way as we do?
Well, I always feel that the connections we have with people, I don't feel they're ever broken. You know, and when you look at it, you've got either somebody in spirit that's been really good to you and loved you, or somebody in spirit that perhaps hasn't loved you. Now, either way, if somebody's loved you in life and they care about your life and they care about your well-being, why would that stop? What they get from it is the same thing they got from it when they were here on Earth and they made sure that you were okay. A sense of satisfaction in making sure that you're okay because they love you and care about you. But even more so when you think that the spirit world, you know, they're going into a situation where they don't have to worry about the aches and pains of the body, or, you know, whether they can afford to pay the mortgage this month. You know, they're in a wonderful place. But how can they really enjoy that if they feel they've just left you to get on with life? And what they get from it is a sense of helping you.
Yes.
And giving you direction.
Do you think they nudge us without us realising they're nudging us?
Absolutely. I think they nudge us and they help us and they place things upon our path to try and push us in the right direction. Whether we take it or not is something else.
Yes.
But they certainly do it.
And so would you say, is it a spirit that comes through to us in a reading, would that be referred to as a guide, for instance?
No.
So what's the difference?
Because I'm not saying somebody's guide couldn't come through in a reading, but most of all, people are wanting to connect with somebody that was a family member or, you know, somebody that they've got strong feelings for. A guide is somebody different because a guide is an energy that may have lived many different lives and is here to help to guide us on our path. So they would come through with inspiration or guidance for our life. They would help us to take the right path, but not because they've been related to us in this life, but because they're there just for our guidance. But that's not to say that you couldn't have a relative that was acting as a guide, because obviously your relatives are helping you, aren't they?
Absolutely, yeah.
But, you know, if you went abroad and you went to a strange country, you might need a guide to show you around that country, but you're not related to them. They're just doing their job and helping you to take the right path. And that's what your guide's doing from the spirit world.
Is a guide what some people refer to as an angel? Or do you see them as different? Or
I see them as different. That's not to say they couldn't be the same, but I see them as different only because I see it that a guide is helping to give us the right direction and help us to have insight and a deep level of understanding to explain to us about why certain things happen, to give us enlightenment. I always feel that angels come through to us in a sense for a different purpose. I feel that they tend to help us out in situations that might be difficult or traumatic or areas where we could be stuck.
Yes.
So I feel like their role is slightly different. Am I making sense?
Yeah, so a guide is more there to guide us and to steer us on a path that will either lead to us learning things or overcoming challenges, but an angel probably is more of a nurturing energy.
Yeah, and an angel will help us at a time of extreme crisis. That's not to say a guide wouldn't, but their main objective is to keep us on the right path.
Okay, and so it's always interested me, what's Is there a difference between what we call a ghost and spirit?
Not in my mind, there's not really, except that I suppose we often refer to a ghost as somebody that's in a building, or a spirit energy that's in a building, that we're not necessarily connected to. Do you know what I mean? We'll say, oh, so-and-so's seen a ghost, and that might mean that they're just in a building and seen a random ghost.
Actually, that would make total sense to me, because I'm convinced I've seen a ghost. It's just that obviously some people don't believe you, so you always word it politely, so I may not have done, but I think I have.
Yeah.
And I had no connection to that woman at all.
No, and I think when we're talking about spirit, we tend to use that word more, I think, when we're talking about people that we've been connected to that have passed over.
Yes, yeah.
You know, they're not just some random ghost, are they? They're somebody that's connected to us.
That's right, yeah.
But of course a ghost is a spirit because it's a person that's passed over.
And so it's not, because some people mention, say that possibly a ghost is, we're seeing them because they're trapped in the, earthly plane and they've not moved across to the spiritual plane yet. What's your take on that?
I think that sometimes you can get ghosts or spirits that remain here for whatever reason. They may feel trapped or they might not be ready to move on. And sometimes you do get specific mediums, like rescue mediums, that all they do is to help these energies to move on.
Okay.
Because, you know, just because somebody's a medium, people have different roles in mediumship and different things. Like some people would specifically be a medium and might do unsolved crime, or they might look for missing people.
Oh, I never knew it was that specialised. Wow.
Yeah, or they might, you know, as we say, they might work in terms of, I don't know, lots of different areas.
Yes.
So they might do that. Called rescue medium. So that might be their niche, their part of mediumship that they specialise in. Obviously, mine's one-to-one readings.
Yes.
So, you know, there's lots of different ways that, or specialist areas that people can get into. I do feel they do get trapped, or for whatever reason they're not ready to go. Or sometimes I think if they're passed either traumatically or very suddenly, it's almost like they don't want to accept themselves that they've actually passed over.
So a rescue medium would go and sort of help to soothe them and help them move across?
Yeah. And although I don't specialise in rescue mediumship, but of course sometimes in life you come across situations where things happen.
Yeah.
Where you have to work with something. And we used to do a number of ghost hunts, which was quite interesting, because that's different to like when people come to me for one-to-one readings. Because,
yes.
You know, if you come to me for one-to-one readings, you want to connect to your relative, I connect to your relative. But if you're doing a ghost hunt, it's just the energies that are connected with the venue, not necessarily with the people.
Does
that make sense?
Yes. Where do you do ghost hunts then?
I haven't done one for ages, actually, but I used to do a fair few in Stowmarket, but the owner's changed now of the pub that I used to work in, which is such a shame because that was a lovely venue that we used to do. It used to work perfectly for it. But when we were doing this one day, we did a little bit of what you call trance mediumship, which means the spirit comes very, very close to me, and it's almost like there's more of that spirit and less of me.
Gosh.
And I very often don't remember what's said. So I have somebody that works with me that kind of looks after me because I'm off with the fairies. And very often my voice changes.
Oh, that would be scary.
I don't ever do that in one-to-one readings, but we did it in a circle where it just happens to me, so it doesn't happen to anyone else. And we had, do you hear that?
Yes, I did. I think we're being visited by a spirit as
we
do this.
Because I kind of looked and there was something up there. And of course there's nothing here, but we heard it.
Yeah. You can join in if you want. Yeah.
We had this young woman come through, actually, that was very upset because she'd been burnt badly in the fire. And we thought it was in that particular venue. Mm. And so the lady that works with me, she asked the spirit energy that's in me to answer the questions. As I said, I don't even remember them. And she said to her, was it here? Because there had actually been a fire there. And she said, no, it was down the road further. And when the woman who helps me checked out, it was down the road further that there had been a fire.
Gosh.
But the spirit energy that had come through said it felt trapped here. It couldn't move forward. And so she asked it to move forward. And once I'd come out of that a bit, we did a specific meditation to help that energy move forward. And the whole place felt quite differently. The whole room felt quite differently once that had moved on.
Gosh.
So well, you know, that's not my specialist area, but you know, you're there, something happens, you've either got to deal with it or not deal with it, haven't you really? So
yeah,
that's what we did. But it was very, very interesting. The only thing was it was a Halloween ghost hunt, and we'd all got dressed up, so yeah. We'd all got our refinery on. And I'd got my lovely gothic dress with long sleeves, and we'd got our makeup on.
And then of course, your hairband.
Yeah, and then this woman came through who had had all these burns, and she sobbed. So by the time I'd finished, she sobbed and sobbed because of her burns and told us about her life, apparently. And when I come back and my colleague said to me, "Oh, come back now, Julie." I opened my eyes. I thought, my face is wet. It's not only wet, I'd got mascara all the way down it. So I kind of look different to when I come back to what I did when I was
gone.
So
you need to wear waterproof mascara on a ghost hunt.
Definitely if you're doing trance mediumship. Which wasn't really our intention that night, but it just seemed to happen.
That's fascinating, though. That's the beauty of it, I suppose. It must be such... You know, you never know quite what you're going to get.
Well, you kind of do and you don't, because you wouldn't really allow that to happen in the wrong environment. Because when you're doing mediumship, it's a bit like in life. Like, you're giving me the information and I'm relaying it on to the other person.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? So you're the spirit. Yeah. You say to me, "Julie, blah, blah, blah." So I go to Mrs. Brown over there and I say, "Mrs. Brown, blah, blah, blah."
Mm.
Trance mediumship is different, because instead of you giving it to me now and I give it to her, you're kind of entering me, not in a physical sense, but in a spiritual sense. Your energy is entering my energy.
You blend with the energy that's trying to come through.
I'm not talking to her.
Mm.
You're talking to her through my mouth. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So when my colleague says to me, "I've got to come back to the room and you've now left me and there's just me again," I might remember 5% of what I've said.
Mm.
Somebody else will have been jotting it down and said to me, "Oh, this said this and this," but I won't know because I've been off with the fairies.
And is that a very exhausting experience as far as you're concerned?
Only if they cry and make my mascara run. It can be. Mm. I suppose it's like anything else in life. You know, sometimes it is more than others.
Mm.
If that makes sense.
How do you protect yourself in this sort of job that you do? Because you're constantly working with energies. So when do you get time to refuel your own? Or do you just have very strict boundaries as to what you allow to happen and not to allow to happen?
What do you mean allow to happen?
Well, where are your limits? Because obviously if you're giving readings on a daily basis, I know just as a psychotherapist and a hypnotherapist how it's important to maintain my own energy levels. So for somebody who's dealing with, you know, spirit energy and obviously people who are probably very emotional when they come and see you or can become emotional, how do you protect your own energy, as it were?
Well, that's a very interesting thing, because that's quite difficult in a way. Mm. I mean, in terms of protecting and looking after you, obviously that's your guide's job.
Okay.
That's a very important job your guide has, because obviously they've got to know who to let come forward to you and who not to.
Yeah.
In a spiritual sense, when we're talking about spirit coming through to communicate.
Yes.
So, you know, that guide's there for your protection. So in a spiritual sense, I feel that you're okay. But in a life sense, it's very difficult. Very difficult. Because, you know, I suppose some mediums do mostly events, and that's okay because I make a lot of money off events.
Yeah.
And seeing a lot of people at once.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I do several events, but not as many as most people, because I mostly work on a one-to-one.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't say the same things to somebody in an event as you can on a one-to-one.
Yes, I suppose you have to be a little bit careful about what you filter through.
Very much so, you know. And I think that the real work happens on a one-to-one. You know, if I gave you a little message, it might be parts of it. I can't say that.
Mm.
You think, oh, that's good. You still have to come for a one-to-one to hear the other half of it.
Yes.
Do you see what I mean? So I think the real work of helping people is on a one-to-one.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you're working with people on a one-to-one, it can be very exhausting.
Yes.
You know, you do have to have your limits. But it's not just the time that you spend when you're with the person that's come to you, because obviously you've got all the other time-consuming things of any business, mm-hmm. haven't you? You know, somebody sends you an email, you send them one back,
yes.
they send you another one, you send them one back, mm. you could go on.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It is very time-consuming. So the actual work itself can be exhausting, and I think also so can the running of the other things, you know, and the contacting people and getting back to them and doing everything else that you need to do. But I also think that because it's a spiritual calling, really, I think it's something that you've got to feel that for mm. to want to do it. Because like me, you end up working 7 days a week and you get hardly any time off.
Yes, so you've got to have a passion.
So you have got to have a passion for it. Mm. If you've got a passion for it, and you know, you feel that you're doing good with people, that's what drives you.
Mm.
Because it can be very exhausting. But I also think it's like anything else. You know, if you got up and you went running one day, you'd probably ache like mad.
Mm.
But if you run every day, you get used to it.
You build up the stamina for that particular
exactly
requirement, don't you?
Yeah, and I think in terms of doing the readings, that's how it is. Because mm. I know I've spoken to a lot of people who go to me, oh, I'm so tired if I just do one.
Mm.
And how on earth do you do a lot?
Mm.
But I think that's why, because the more you get used to it, the more you're able to do it.
And do you find the majority of your business is through people via contacting you via Skype or telephone, or is it one-to-one face-to-face readings?
Most people like to come face-to-face if they can get here.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I do have customers everywhere. And as you know, if they're abroad or whatever, Skype is perfect.
Yes.
You know, so that tends to do that. Or customers that have been, you know, are more local, but for some reason they just need a quick reading because something's happened and mm. they can't actually physically come, they'll have Skype or, mm-hmm. or phone. So it is a mixture, but I think most of the customers like to come face-to-face if they can.
Say something over the phone. Do you get as good a reading when you can't see somebody's face but you can just hear their voice? Does the energy flow well enough?
Perfect. I'd prefer to teach people to read over the phone.
That's really interesting because mm. I
tell you why, should
I? From somebody else that said exactly the same thing.
Mm. Because the biggest thing about doing a reading is mm. to go with not what you feel, mm-hmm. not what you see or what you hear, but purely what you feel.
Yes.
And, you know, the biggest problem I have with teaching beginners is to get them to learn to go with what they feel and not what they see or what they hear.
Yes.
So, for example, you could come in here and you could be covered in expensive jewellery
mm.
and, you know, you could have pulled up in an expensive car and you mm. could have an expensive fare on. You could be bankrupt. Do you know what I mean? Mm. The beginner would look at what they see
yes.
and that would totally cloud them.
Yeah.
So it makes it so much easier when you can't see anybody because you've got nothing to go by your intuition.
That's fascinating. Because I know that I've heard in the past, you know, people are quite sceptical of how can you do a reading over the telephone, but that just makes it all so obvious.
Yeah, because we're not going with any logical, are we? We've got to go with our gut feeling, our intuition, so it makes no difference.
And on a therapeutic level, for instance, if somebody say I've had either an eating disorder or an addiction with drugs or something, you know, along those lines. Would I be able to say to you, I don't even know what I would ask you, but is there a way you'd be able to help me uncover my energies that are causing me to self-sabotage? So, you know, could I come to you in the hope of getting some clarification as to why I might be bulimic or why I might have a tendency to, I don't know, take amphetamines or something?
I think that if we were to do anything along those lines, we'd probably get shot as a psychic these days. So probably not. But like you as a hypnotherapist, you probably think, you know, with therapies, they're the best ways to really go with that, aren't they?
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? I think they are. And especially with something like past life aggression.
Yeah.
Because very often you come across things where something has happened actually in a person's previous life.
Because,
you know, you get people come, they say, I've got this problem, but in this life, you can't pinpoint anything that would have caused it.
Yes.
But you go back to a previous one and you can. And very often, if you suggest that belongs there,
mm.
then you find that that person is able to let that go.
Do you know, that's so interesting that you said that, because I know a lady who used to have a fear of, you know, the old-fashioned water, old-fashioned toilets with the water cistern up high. And for some reason, she could not flush these things because it was either the whooshing noise or she had this phobia of them. And eventually, she saw a hypnotherapist and they did past life regression eventually on her. And it took her back to the gas chambers.
There you go.
And she linked the whatever that whoosh was with the cistern, the water cistern on the toilet when she pulled the chain, to the sound or the experience of the gas coming out into the gas chambers. And after once they'd made that link, that phobia vanished.
There you go.
Which is absolutely fascinating.
Now, you know, we have to keep our things separately. So you have to keep your psychic and your medium stuff separate to your hypnotherapy.
Yes.
And that can be very, very hard.
Yes, I'm sure it is.
And, you know, it's very difficult because things will spill over.
Mm.
So to answer your question, I always remember when I had a hypnotherapy client a long time ago. And, of course, we can talk about the situation and not the person because it's confidential.
Yes.
But I remember this person had got a real problem with committing to people.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the introductions we did involved walking downstairs, which is probably something you use yourself.
Yes.
Well, this client, as he walked down the stairs, he actually saw his mother and his sister that had both previously passed away in a fire.
Gosh.
And it wasn't like a dream. He said it was as clear as a bell.
Mm.
And they'd actually said to him that your problem, your difficulty is that he lost them in quite a horrific way. So whenever he started to get close to anybody else, he'd always sabotage it.
Yeah.
And the act of seeing them, he said to me, and he didn't know about me being a medium, he said the act of me seeing them and knowing that it was really them.
Yes.
Telling me to move on enabled him to move on.
My goodness. Because he had that fear that if he loved somebody, he'd lose them.
Mm. But he didn't really realise that's what it was. He just knew that he got so close and then he had to back off.
Gosh.
But you know, there's lots of weird things that happen and things cross over when really it's not your intention.
Mm.
I mean, I remember seeing a young man who had got a real problem with anxiety. And he'd got involved with somebody that was a spiritualist and they had a really good relationship. But he couldn't do a lot in his life because every time he went out, you know, if they were going out for dinner or doing something, he'd feel quite anxious.
Yes.
And I think the family that he would got involved with because of the girlfriend he'd got were really good for him.
Mm.
And being spiritualist, he kind of wanted to accept what they were, but found it hard to believe in such things.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he'd had this hypnotherapy one session, we decided the next time he was going to come back, we was going to do some healing. Because I'd felt when he was in the relaxed state doing hypnotherapy that he needed healing. So he came back for this healing and I touched him on the head, I think it was. And when he came out of the session, he said, "I felt you touch me on the head, but who was touching me on the feet?"
Oh, gosh.
And I said, "Nobody." And he said, "Oh, I clearly felt it." He said, "So I need you to explain this to me."
Oh, my goodness.
So I said, "Well, you know, we can't really do two things at once." I said, "But let's just finish your session and then I'll tell you what I think it was."
Yes.
So I told him. And that was quite remarkable for him because he said he really wanted, he felt that everything was perfect with his girlfriend and he really wanted to accept the family. And this one thing about the spiritualism was the thing that was getting in the way.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to me, "Who do you think was touching my feet?" And I thought, "Sugar, I thought the session's over now." So I told him.
Yes.
And he said, "God," I forget whether it was his granddad or his uncle, but he recognised the person.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "I recognised that person without a doubt and how they'd passed and different things." And that enabled him to actually accept their beliefs. And so they become even more closer to the family because he now accepted it.
Gosh.
Because it wasn't something that was intentional. It was just something that just happened.
And the beauty is that you have this skill set that, you know, when it's necessary to help it, you know, I know you keep the session separate, but if there's an opportunity for that individual to heal as a result of your psychic abilities, then
then it's quite useful,
yeah,
isn't
definitely.
It, to be able to do that.
So I think we're coming up towards the end of our interview, Julie. It's something I want to ask most of my interviewees is, if you were an 80-year-old woman looking back at you as you currently are now, what advice would you give yourself?
I would say that it's always important to be kind.
Mm-hmm.
Always important to treat people as you wish to be treated. I know, yes, we do want to know what opportunities we're going to have tomorrow. And I think that's human nature.
Mm.
But I think we can only deal with today. And if we can't swim, then we need to tread water until we can swim.
Oh, what a lovely way of putting it.
And I think it's important to laugh. You know, life can be difficult. Mm. It can be difficult for all of us. But I think we just need to laugh. Because, you know, it is what it is. But when you keep your energies up, you can still enjoy life. I think most people who come to people like me and you have got problems.
Yes.
But it doesn't mean to say you've got to think about those problems 24 hours a day.
No.
You know, the rest of the time you can put them to one side, laugh, have a bit of fun.
And I always tell people, and I love the fact that you've mentioned kindness, because when you do something that's kind, you get so much more back anyway. You help that individual because you've done something kind for that person or that group of people. But you get so much back yourself as a result of being kind.
I think you can be kind and strong.
Yes.
And that's important.
Mm.
So that, you know, we treat people with kindness, but at the same time we still have our boundaries, because some people see kindness as a weakness.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's something to be aware of. But I think we should never be afraid to be kind.
No, I think if we were all kind, then the world would be a much happier
place. It would be a much happier place. Mm. And I think, you know, that's an important thing about life, isn't it?
Mm.
You know, to always see things as we would want to see them, not as we would fear them to be. To see in our brain what we want, not what we fear.
Yes.
I'm a firm believer then that helps to bring towards you what you want and not what you fear. You know, you can only play in life with the hand you're dealt.
Mm.
But you can make the best of the hand you're dealt.
Absolutely. Can't you? Yeah.
You know, some people have got a really good hand and they just waste it.
Yes.
Other people are not dealt a good hand, but they make the best of every opportunity they've got.
Yeah. Oh, I can't remember who it was. They said it's not a lack of resources, it's a lack of resourcefulness that results in us not achieving what we should be able to achieve in life.
Exactly. Mm. And you know, in that you have to take some risk, albeit calculated risk.
Yes.
Don't you?
Mm.
You know, there's a bit of luck, a bit of strength, a bit of risk. But, you know, if you don't take your chances and your opportunities, then you're never going to get anywhere, are you?
No, you won't grow as an individual and just stay stuck in that little safe, dark, dank, rather disappointing rut.
You know, I always think that I can't, you know, well, if you can't jump the hurdle, go under it.
Yeah.
Go to the left, go to the right.
Mm.
But if you stand there thinking you can't, then you're right, you can't, you never will.
Absolutely, yeah.
So life is for the living, isn't it?
Mm.
You know, and I think we've got to live it to the full, really.
And that's a very, very salient point to end on, Julie. Life is for living. Thank you very much. So I'm just going to go over how you can contact Julie again. You can find Julie Spalding, that's S-P-A-L-D-I-N-G, on her website, which is www.psychicipswich.co.uk. Her landline is 01473-743-564, and her mobile is 07970-940-313. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you as my guest today, Julie. I'm just overjoyed and I wish I could talk to you for even longer. Perhaps you'd like to come back on and be another guest in the future.
Well, that would be lovely. Thank you very much for having me. I've really enjoyed it as well.
Oh, thank you, and we'll speak soon.
Okay, thank you.
I'm sure that many of you still have a whole host of questions that you would like to ask Julie. So Julie would be keen to come back and be a guest again on the Flourish and Thrive radio show. What we suggest you do is send an email to my Flourish Therapy contact page. So go onto the website at flourishtherapy.co.uk, click the Contact Us tab, and there is an email link there where you can send in your questions. If you'd like to remain anonymous, just make a note of that in the subject line, and we will compile the questions and then get Julie back on to come and answer all of those queries that you might have. I think she was a tremendous guest, and I'm absolutely overjoyed that she took the time to go through some of the basics about being a psychic medium. Again, Julie Spalding, thank you so much for your time. You can find more information on Julie Spalding at her website, which is www.psychicipswich.co.uk. I thank you all so much for listening. So go out there and live your best lives as though today was your last day. Wishing you a life of integrity, honesty and inspiration. And until next time, goodbye for now.
I can do anything. I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want. I can be what I want to be.
Radio.